So now there are some questions that I would like to answer from chapter 3. The first question is, thank you for this very inspiring explanation of these two stanzas. At an intuitive level, it makes sense to me to pray to all the Buddhas and enlightened beings throughout all time. But sometimes I wonder about in what way do the Buddhas who are not currently in human form in the present time exist? When you speak about the different world systems, can this be understood in terms of the three kayas, or is it best not to try to put words to concepts that are beyond ordinary understanding? You can I think talk about usually, you know, we have in Buddhist terms the pure realms that are kind of classified as Dharmakaya pure realms, Sambhogakaya pure realms, Nirmanakaya pure realms, and things like that. Although the three kayas are not really three things, but aspect of the enlightened experience. But you know, the worlds, whether it's enlightened kind of world or it is a samsaric world, it is, as we have discussed before, not kind of not complete kind of independently existing. It's an interdependently existing world, which means, as we discussed before, an unborn, what they call, like the. It's more. It's not just a kind of a projection, but it is a perception. It's a perception. It can be a kind of a collective perception. It can be individual's perception. It has also different causes and conditions. But when we are talking about this making prayers or making requests of Buddhists and Bodhisattvas to remain among us, to be with us, and to request them to guide us and give, you know, teachings. It is also a purification from our side. It is also making a certain kind of change in our attitude, that we want to be led, we want to learn, we want to be inspired, we want to, you know, receive teachings, we want to work on that, and we want to be in the company of positive beings. So therefore, you know, this is also asking the Buddhas, but it is also a way of changing our own attitude and training on that way of being. So therefore, this has to be understood in this way, I think. The second question is, Rinpoche, I try to discover what can explain the arising of bodhicitta in the mind. The causes I found are the teaching of a bodhisattva, two, the good karma accumulated, three, the blessings of great beings. Bodhicitta seems to be an expression, a manifestation of wisdom and compassion. Therefore, they seem not be the causes of bodhicitta. Could you please help me to clarify that? I think we talked about this before also. Bodhicitta itself is wisdom and compassion. And the real cause or the real kind of a reason that we can generate it is because we have the seed. we have the essence. There is an essence of wisdom and compassion in us. Our mind naturally has that capacity. As it is said that you can kind of get oil out of sesame seed, because there is oil there. That's the essence of the sesame seed. If you press sand, you will not get oil out of it, because there is no essence there, there is no oil there. So in the same way, the bodhicitta is in us. But what we are talking about here, when we talk about cause or the conditions to generate it, is that, you know, although it's there in us, potentially, in a hidden way, in order to bring that out, to blossom that, then we need some things to ignite that. And these are the teachings, the positive accumulation of karma, and, you know, the friends or the company of good people, great people. These can help us to bring out our natural qualities, the bodhicitta, soon. That's the main understanding here. Then the next question is, I would like to ask a question related to trying to understand the Dhamma. When you talk about how we should let go of feelings of jealousy and envy, because they are harmful, it stands us from number 1 to 4 in the third chapter. I can see that this makes absolute sense. However, I also think that it cannot be that easy, because I have a deeply held but possibly erroneous belief that I am a jealous person. That is part of my identity. So how can I just let it go? Is this because I have an unconscious confusion about the true nature of existence, that I have a fixed and permanent self? You know, when you say that I am a jealous person, from Buddhist point of view, what I understand is that I have lots of, you know, kind of habitual tendency of acting or reacting in a jealous way. I have been, because of my wrong way of seeing, because of my not understanding how to act and react in a positive way, because of my wrong way of looking at who I am, I have been, you know, acting jealously for a long time, so therefore it has become very, you know, like familiarized with me. I almost automatically react with jealousy, so therefore I see myself as a jealous person. Now, therefore, you know, but that the way I react with jealousy is not me, it's my habit, it's my habitual tendency. So therefore, I can change that, you know, like if I am a smoker, so I say I am a smoker, but I smoke, I like to smoke, it becomes very, you know, I'm used to smoking. If I don't smoke, I don't feel good, you know, but, you know, that's the acquired, you know, habit. But that smoking is injurious to my health, and smoking is not good, and it is giving lots of illnesses and lots of problems for myself and others also. And when I really realize that, and I really want to get rid of that, then it's not easy. Nobody says it's easy. But I must clearly understand how important it is for me that I give up that habit. And so therefore, I try and I make a commitment and I make a kind of a decision, and then I smoke I don't smoke. And then it is very difficult. I want to smoke. I like to smoke. All the kind of problems of addiction comes up. But then, if I am, you know, strong enough, if I am resolute enough, if I have all the right means and help, and you know, then slowly I can give up smoking, and then slowly, I even come to that kind of a stage where I do not, you know, I do not want to smoke. I cannot even, you know, I have no desire to smoke at all. So in the same way, we need to work on our negative emotions as well. So all our negative emotions is a negative, you know, habitual tendency based on a wrong way of looking and wrong way of seeing things, and therefore, you know, this is, I cannot say that I am jealous and that's it. I am not. I have this jealous attitude, I have a jealous habitual tendency, yes. Therefore, if I have been acting like that for a long time, it's more difficult for me to get rid of. But since it brings lots of pain and problem for myself and others, I must do it. So therefore, I need to slowly generate, you know, rejoicing, and then more and more, and slowly I think you will feel that it's not completely, you know, impossible. Then this is the last question. And this is chapter 3, stanza 5 begins with, "And so I join my hands in prayer. I've been thinking about prayer, how to pray, what attitude to take in praying. In the recently published Genesic book, you described prayer as letting go and trusting. Would you talk about what is mistaken if prayer does not bring about trust and acceptance?" Well, here, prayer, you know, join my hands in prayer, is more about a request. I'm kind of requesting the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and great beings to be within us or with us or among us, and then that they give us, you know, guidance and teachings and things like that. This is a request. But generally, prayer, it seems, the word prayer in English, you know, is a kind of equivalent for many different words and teachings, you know, kind of concepts in like Tibetan. Prayer seems to be the translation for Menlam, for Solndeb, even sometimes for, you know, for Hoa, even sometimes for kind of Tamcha, and also sometimes used for like Duba. Duba. So the Duba and all this. So therefore, I think the word prayer is used for many different kind of meanings and different words also, terms. And also, even for one, like Solndeb, there are slightly different understandings, like, you know, the Solndeb has like a dualistic, you know, you kind of make a prayer to somebody up there, or then when you really, you know, visualize yourself, you know, you see yourself as the enlightened being, then another slightly different way of making the Solndeb or prayer. So they are kind of slightly different different meanings you'll find in Buddhism generally. But here I think it's more like a request. I fold my hands and think about all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all the enlightened beings, you know, throughout the space, in all the kind of wherever they are, in whatever form or in whatever, you know, pure realms and things like that, and then I make a request for me and for all the other beings. I think that's enough for this. So this is at the end of the questions this time.